All right, so welcome back, everyone, to the continuation of this series we've been doing of the trying to understand the Messianic era, Yemos HaMashiach, what that is going to look like. We had discussed, what exactly it's going to look like. And we saw there was a discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam taking a much more rational approach, where based off the Gemara and Shabbos, that really it's going to be basically the way it is right now, except that the entire world is going to have a realization of Hashem and the authenticity of the Torah, and are basically going to be bound by that. And the Ramban says there's going to be a number of fairly miraculous things that that take place during the Messianic era. We'd spoken about the role that non-Jews will have in the Messianic era. We've touched on a number of different topics. So now I want to turn our attention to, really we're coming to the end of this discussion, maybe just a couple of classes left on this topic, and then we'll move on to Olam Haba, Tchiyas HaMesim, these other topics that are, my beard is certainly not long enough to address. So now we're coming to a little bit of a close on the on this topic of Mashiach, and I want to address tonight the question of, well, how do we know when Mashiach is actually coming? How do we know when Mashiach is coming? We know this is one of our basic principles of faith, that we anticipate the coming of Mashiach. We spend a lot of time talking about the importance of that anticipation and why that's a fundamental of faith. Tachlis. Like, so when is Mashiach coming? So the Rambam talks about this, and he says that there is a certain, kind of like a process that is laid out for us, that Amru Chachamim, the Rambam writes, the end of Hilchos Melachim, Amru Chachamim, Ein Beilo Mazeli, Mos HaMashiach, Elishib Machus Bovad, as we mentioned before from the Rambam, that it's not going to be really that much different. And then he continues and he says that what's going to happen, based on the different Nevi'im, based on the prophets, what's going to happen is as follows. First, it's going to start with a Melchemes Gog u'Magog. Some type of a war is going to happen. It's interesting. There is a Netziv that, a couple of years ago, people were getting very excited about, because the Netziv writes that the Melchemes Gog u'Magog can present itself even as a magefa, as a plague of sorts. It could present itself as a pandemic. So a lot of people were getting very excited about that Netziv a couple of years ago. For all we know, very well could have been a part of Melchemes Gog u'Magog. And also, it's important to note as well, the Rambam, not over here in Hilchos Malachim, but earlier in Hilchos Malachim in Perek Zion, the Rambam writes, he says that, no, I'm sorry, in Perek, no, in Perek Aleph, the very beginning of the Rambam Hilchos Malachim, he writes that, that shalosh mitzvos nisabu Yisrael b'shas kinesas on the arts, that when we come into the land of Israel, meaning that we're making our way into the land of Israel, so we have to do three things, and it needs to be in this order. Libnos lehamelech, we need to set up a government, and then we need to destroy Amalek, so we have to set up an army. Lahachar zar shalom Amalek, we have to set up an army, and then we have to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's where Rav Schechter said, based on this Rama, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf, that we are in the Haschalta de Gula. We're certainly in the redemptive process. It seems to be coming toward an end. We just now need to finish the job of getting rid of Amalek, then we'll be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rambam is over here at the end of Hilchos Malachim, as we mentioned, is going through now what it's going to look like. Okay, and then he says we have to do Melchemes Gog u'Magog. Shekodem Melchemes Gog u'Magog, before Gog u'Magog, what needs to happen? Yamod Navi Lishar Lisrael LaHavchin Libam. So then we're going to first have a Navi that's going to come and get us ready for this. Now, who is that Navi? So it's Eliyahu Navi. Is what it says in Tanakh. Shenamar hinanochi shalokachem es Eliyahu Navi, that I'm going to send for you Eliyahu Navi. So Eliyahu Navi is the harbinger of the Geula. He's the one that's going to announce Geula's arrival. He's the one that's going to get the Jewish people ready for this Molchemes Gog u'Magog. And then there's going to be this war that is going to result in Mashiach's final arrival. But then the Rambam throws in a line where then the Rambam says, V'chol elu hadvarim. But even with everything we just pointed out, V'chol elu hadvarim u'chiyotze behen, and things like these matters, lo yada adam ech yu achiyu. Bottom line is that a person's not really going to know what these are until they happen. And we had mentioned this Rambam in an introduction to this entire series, where the Rambam points out in a couple of different places, he throws caution to studying these topics in too much depth or with too much of an authority and too much of a conclusion on a matter, because ultimately, who knows? We know that it's going to happen. Exactly how it's going to happen, we're not entirely sure. And that is part of our emuna in exactly the way that things are going to unfold. So that is the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. In fact, that the Rambam really is just basing himself off of actually a line in Yeshaya where it seems to also be a little bit confusing, where the Navi Yeshaya towards the end, that's a very, very long Navi Yeshaya, the end of the 60th parak, the 60th chapter. I think there's 66 chapters in Yeshaya. 66 chapters in Yeshaya. So the end of the 60th chapter, the Navi says the following, again, talking about Yemosa Mashiach, talking about the Messianic era. It says that Bi'ita Achishana, that Bi'ita Achishana, that that Hashem will Ani, Hashem Bi'ita, that I Hashem, in its time, Achishana will hasten it, meaning the coming of Mashiach. In its time, will hasten it. So what exactly does that mean? Well, if the time has come, then the time has come. And if it hasn't come, then Achishana would make sense. Then hastening it would make sense. So which one is it? Is it that Hashem is going to hasten the Mashiach's arrival, or is it something that it's going to happen, Bi'ita, in its proper time? So the Radak writes over here on the Pasuk, the Radak writes, he says that the Ita, the time that Mashiach comes, it's going to feel Achishana, that Yesh Lefarish Kishiyagia Ita, that when the time for Mashiach's arrival comes, Achishana, it's going to feel like it happens very, very quickly. It's like when it's time, everything's going to move very quickly. Melchamas Gog u'Magog is going to happen very quickly. And then the Navi, Eliyahu Navi coming and preparing us for Mashiach is going to happen very quickly. Those final steps are going to happen rather swiftly. That's what the Navi means when he says, Ita Achishana. Achishana legamre. It's going to happen mamish mehera. Ki lo yarich zman me'es hachal ha'yeshua ad kalosa. That from the time that the Yeshua starts until it ends, it's going to be very quick. From the time it starts until it ends, it's going to be very quick. So again, just another place where it seems to be a bit unclear exactly what the end of the Messianic era is going to look like. But what we need to be more focused on is like what the Rambam said, where it's that we can't just figure these things out conclusively, but rather we need to be focused on, so what are the things that we can do in order to make sure that it's Achishana, that it happens quickly. So there the Gemara in Sanhedrin addresses this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Sadi Ches writes the following. It says, also quoting this Pasuk, Amar Rebbe Alexandri Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wrote the following, Ramiksiv Bi'ita, that it says that it's going to happen Bi'ita. Mashiach's arrival is going to happen at a set time. And also Uksiv Achishana. It also says that it's going to be Achishana, which means it's going to happen quickly. So which one is it? So says the Gemara, Zachu, that if we deserve it, so then Achishana. Then no matter when that is, it could be before its Ita, before it was its predestined time. If we deserved it before that point, so then Hashem will make it quickly. Lo zach, however, if we don't deserve Mashiach's arrival to come quicker, so then it's going to come in its appropriate time. So now, what are examples of zachu? What meaning when the Gemara says that we, or the Navi rather, says that when we deserve it, so then it's going to come Achishana, it's going to happen quicker than we were expecting. So there's a few places we found in the in the Gemara in Chazal that tell us. Number one, of course, probably most famously, is the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Tes. But the Gemara says that the reason the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because that they were involved in Gila Raya Shricha Dhamma Avodah Zara, promiscuity, murder, and idolatry. And then says the Gemara, and so why did the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The Gemara says because they didn't, because of Sinas Chinam. And says the Gemara, this comes to teach me Malame Shashkula Sinas Chinam Keneged Gimel Chamura Shabbatara, that Sinas Chinam, this baseless hatred that one Jew would, God forbid, feel towards another Jew, is tantamount to all three of the most serious sins in the Torah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, we mentioned this on Shabbos, that the Rambam interprets that Gemara specifically. Now, what does that mean, baseless hatred? It means speaking Lashon Hara. That speaking Lashon Hara, the Rambam says, is tantamount to all the other most chamer mitzvahs in the Torah, various in the Torah, of murder, promiscuity, and idolatry, are not as severe, altogether not as severe as speaking Lashon Hara, one Jew speaking Lashon Hara about another Jew. That's mind-blowing. All right, the Rambam's language, the four scariest words of the Rambam, is that the Lashon Hara keneged kulam, that Lashon Hara is tantamount to all. That is, so that's number one. If we want to make sure that it's Zahu, not waiting for Ito. We're not waiting. Who wants to wait for Mashiach to come when it, quote unquote, is supposed to come? I want it to come sooner, right? So if that's the case, so then that step one is not speaking Lashon Hara. We have other Mamar Chazal that address this. Another one is the Medrash in Medrash Tanfuma that says, Ein Yisrael Nigalin Ad Shu Aguda Achas, that until there's unity amongst Chal Yisrael, we're not going to have the Gula. Ein Yisrael Nigalin Ad Shu Aguda Achas, until we have a proper Aguda, until we are, you know, until we have unity. Again, this is all to create achishena, for it to happen sooner than what we would. We don't want to wait for Ita. We don't want to wait for it to happen at its, you know, the final time. We want it to come sooner than that. Another Gemara, there's a number of Gemaras about this. Another Gemara is Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Chesem Beis. The Gemara says that Il Male Shamri Yisrael Beis Shabbosos Miyad Unigolim, that if the Jewish people all kept two Shabbosos, so then Mashiach would come right away, right? Mashiach will come right away. So again, these are ways of creating achishena. Exactly which is the one that's going to do the trick? We assume all of them. We have to make sure we're doing all of them. But without question, there is a way to make it go, to make it come quicker. When the ita is, when the hard line is, so that's a tough question. That's a tougher question. We'll have to address the Medrash about the 6,000 years. We'll have to probably address that next time. What's the story with the year 6,000 and that, you know, that whole discussion? The Rambam actually points out where we see this concept of Ita versus Achishana coming alive, of that where there is a set time, but nevertheless, the Ketz HaYeshua, the time could be hastened. Where do we find that? Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the best example of that. The Rambam writes in his Igeres Rambam, his letter that he wrote to the Yemenite community, where the Jews of Yemen sent the Rambam a whole number of different questions related to halacha and also related to faith in general. And he has a number of, he deals with a number of different issues there related to the Yemos HaMashiach, related to other religions, related to Islam. And in that letter, he addresses this question of this concept of Be'ita Achishana, this Gemara, that if we're deserving, that it's going to come sooner, and if we're not, so then we're going to have to wait until the set time that Hashem has in mind, which we don't know exactly what that is. And the Rambam says a good example of that is Agulas Mitzrayim, where we know we were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years, but Hashem took us out sooner. He took us out much sooner, only after 210 years. Of being in Golas Mitzrayim, right? He had said to Hashem said to Avram Avinu that the Jewish people are going to be go down to Mitzrayim for 400 years. But that's not what happened. It was only 210 years because we deserved it. Why we deserved it? So the Haggadah addresses this. It's pretty explicit in the Torah, but the Haggadah is more more direct about it. That it was through sincere tefillah. It's through sincere tefillah. The Yerushalmi and Masechta Tainus also says that mitoch. Mitoch tefillah nigalu avosenu mitzrayim, that through tefillah our ancestors were redeemed. So sincere tefillah also could be a way to create achishana. So there's a number of different ways of creating this concept of achishenah. We've already pointed out four of them. Number one is not speaking lashon hara. Number two is having achdus. Number three is getting more Jews involved with Shabbos. Number four is tefillah, sincere tefillah. In fact, Mesillas Yesharim says that the Mesillas Yesharim is addressing the lack of emuna a person can have within themselves of whether or not their tefillos work. Where the person could say to themselves, the Mesillas Yesharim writes in the 19th chapter, he says that a person can say, Ma'ani umani atzafun al Yerushalayim v'al Beis HaMikdash. Who am I to pray for Mashiach's arrival? Hashem's really going to make a difference. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, absolutely. The Gemara earlier in Masechta Sanhedrin on Lamed Zion says that a person needs to view themselves like the whole world rests on their shoulders. That's Bishvili Nivra Olam. And if a person has that in mind, that they really believe that their tefillos do make a difference, and that's what can ultimately bring Mashiach's arrival. So the Mesillas Yesharim also is saying that this is a way to do it, is through sincere tefillah. So there's a number of ways of making the of the gula happen quicker than it's supposed to come. But even with that said, and this is I think why the Rambam ultimately writes that it's impossible to know exactly, is because even if there are ways of hastening the geula, of having the geula come quicker, at the same time, the Navi does say that there is an ita. And so there is some form of tension that there has to, that exists, where we can be doing more and more and more, and that it could hasten Mashiach's arrival, but at the same time, we do have the tension of the fact that there is supposedly the set time when Mashiach is going to come. This this relates to a medrash in the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. The Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer is a very, very early collection of Tanaic literature, where the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer is addressing the initial conversation that's had between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe and God are having a discussion because Hashem appears to Moshe in the Sneh Ba'Ober Esh, in the burning bush. And he tells him, Yala, the time to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So I'd like for you to go do it, right? Now, again, this is the Rambam's example of that. It's happening, you know, sooner than was expected. And what's Moshe's response? So Moshe's response is, don't send me, right? Send my brother. He's more capable than I am. He's a more charismatic leader. He's a better talker. Don't make sense. Don't send me. Send someone else. So he's giving him different excuses. I'm kfatech, falashon, difficult for me to talk. I'm not the right person for the job. And they're having this whole back and forth. And then ultimately, what does Moshe end the conversation? He tries to end it by saying, Shlach na biyatishlach. Just send, you're going to send, but don't send me. And what's God's response to Moshe? He says, what are you talking about? I said, go, you're going to go. Like enough. What was this conversation? But this back and forth takes up a fairly large amount of Torah literature, of back and forth between Moshe and Hashem that I shouldn't go. I should go. So the question you have to ask is, number one, where was Moshe's care and concern for his fellow Jew, right? He's wasting time in this conversation with God when he could be getting the Jewish people out of Egypt. That's number one. And number two is, who's he to argue with God, right? We're talking about God here. When God says go, you go. So what's Moshe doing arguing with Hashem? So the answer lies in what Moshe Rabbeinu meant when he said, Shlach na biyatishlach, send to you're going to send. Rashi over there says he's referring to, most commentators explain, he's referring to Aaron. Send who you're going to send, meaning send Aaron, but don't send me. Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer and Perek Mem Aleph says, it's not what Moshe was referring to. Shlach na biyad tishlach, send who you're going to send. Who's that? Eliyahu Hanavi, as we said before. Eliyahu Hanavi is the harbinger of the Geula, meaning to say, Moshe is saying to Hashem, I know what's going to happen if I go. Yeah, Shkayach, they're coming out of Mitzrayim now. But then what's going to happen? They're going to wander through the desert for a little bit. Eventually, we'll make it to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to take a few hundred years from the time we even get into Eretz Yisrael until we build the Beis HaMikdash. Fine, beautiful, dandy. And then what's going to happen is that the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And then we're going to be able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And then the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And then we're going to go into a major gullus. We're going to have crusades in the first century, second century, pogroms in the 12th century, 13th century, burning of the Talmud, 14th century, Black Death, Chmelnitsky riots in the 17th century, the Holocaust, Rahmanul Itzlan, in the 20th century. It's just rockets flying entire Israel over the last two days, that really, not even 2 days, 36 hours, more than 100 rockets flying entire Israel. I mean, like, Shlach Nabi Yatishlach, just send Eliyahu Nabi. Why are you wasting time sending me? What's Hashem's ultimate response? No, because Geula is a process. There's a tension between the Achishena and the Ita, where, yes, right now is the time for one part of the Geula to happen, right? According to Maribor of Schechter, another part of the Geula was the establishment of the state, and then having Yerushalayim in 67. And so every war, the Psalm Sofer writes, every war that Klal Yisrael is involved in is part of the process of the Geula. It's part of Milchemes Gog Umagog. It's part of Mechias HaMoed. That's why it's a fascinating Psalm Sofer. The Psalm Sofer writes that this is it's a compelling, but you have to do a double take on this Psalm Sofer. He says that when Klal Yisrael is involved in war, you're not allowed to pray for the war to end. You're allowed to pray for there to be as few casualties as possible. You're allowed to pray for safety for the soldiers. You're not allowed to pray for the war to end because the war is part of the process of the Geula. You can't pray for the Geula to slow down. It's an amazing thought from the Chassam Sofer. Amazing thought from the say. You can't pray for it because if you're going to pray for the war to end, that means you're praying for the Geula to slow down. You can't pray for the Geula to slow down. Right? So we're certainly in the process, like Maribor of Schechter says. We're in the process, exactly though how much sooner this Achishena is going to be, we don't exactly know, but hopefully we're not going to wait for the Ita. This also helps us understand a Gemara in another place, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara over there says that the most appropriate time for Mashiach's arrival is in the month of Nisan. Now, hold on 1 second. Don't we want Mashiach to, right? Every moment we believe, Animam Imun Shleima, the Vias HaMashiach, the way that the Brisker Rav and Rav Moshe both understood that statement from the Rambam is that it's coming hot. The Mashiach's coming now. I believe Mashiach is coming now. So if that's the case, what does the Gemara mean? That the most appropriate time for Mashiach's arrival, the most likely time for Mashiach's arrival is going to be in Nisan. In fact, the Gemara says it more definitively than that. The Gemara says, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidin Ligayel. In Nisan, we were redeemed. In Nisan, we're going to be redeemed. Meaning, that is when Mashiach is coming, in the month of Nisan. In fact, Rashi, there's a Rashi that writes that when it says in Nisan, it means on Pesach. The same, the anniversary of Geulas Mitzrayim, of the redemption from Egypt, is going to be the date of Mashiach's arrival. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come on Erev Pesach. Mashiach is going to come on Pesach. So again, that question needs to be addressed in our discussion, which is, well, if it's going to come in Nisan, so I shouldn't bother saying the bracha of Esemach David Avdecha Meir Tatzmiach any other month of the year except for the month of Nisan. Well, let's, like, if it's going to come in Nisan, it seems like there's a set date. So the Turi Evan addresses this, and the Turi Evan writes, he says that Gemara is talking about Be'ita, that if we wait for the final point that Hashem has in mind, that point is Pesach. That's when Mashiach is going to come if we aren't worthy of it coming sooner. But of course, it can come sooner than that. But that is when the Ita is going to be. That's what the Gemara means. That's what the Turi Evan writes. This, according to the Chida, actually creates practical implications halacha l'maisa for us today. This is fascinating. We know in the month of Nisan, we don't say Tachanun. We don't say Tachanun. Why don't we say Tachanun? So the Beis Yosef, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berura, give the reason, which is that because the month of Nisan is the anniversary of the establishment of the Mishkan. When the Mishkan was established, that was on the first of Nisan. And then we had a Yontiv for the next 12 days. So from day one was the day of the Hukam HaMishkan, the day that the Mishkan was erected. And then each of the Nasiim, each of the tribal leaders brought a carbon each day after that for the next 12 days. Then the 13th is Isru Chag, the day after the previous Yontiv, because each day was like a mini Yontiv when the Nasi brought their carbon. And then the 14th is Erev Pesach. So we're not going to say Tachanun on Erev Pesach. The 15th through the 22nd is Pesach itself, no Tachanun. The day after the 23rd is Isru Chag. And then for the rest of the month, being that majority of the month was Bikdusha and Besimcha, was with holiness and was Besimcha, so then we don't say Tachanun the whole rest of the month. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Beis Yosef. Fine. The problem with that, says the Chida, is that it's not really a good explanation why we shouldn't say Tachanun the rest of the month of Nisan. Those other days, the first 23 days, okay, makes sense why we don't say Tachanun. But the last week, maybe we should say Tachanun. So what that the first 3 weeks of the month were Bikdusha and Besimcha? Maybe the rest of the month we should.
Says right, Chida, in what other situation do we hold that? A month has a certain stature.
Right, exactly.
Just that it's in that month.
Just that it's in that month means that, right, it's a fair question that Chida's asking, that Todd's asking. So the Chida says, I'll give you a different explanation. And he bases it off of that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara tells us that Mashiach's arrival is going to be in Nisan, meaning that the Ita, the most opportune time for Mashiach's arrival is going to be in Nisan, which means that, let's do the math again. The first of Nisan, and that means on Pesach, according to Rashi. The first of Nisan, and through the 14th, we know because that was the anniversary of all of the miniature Yom Tovim for when the Mishkan was erected. Then the 14th is Erev Pesach. The 15th is Pesach, and the coming of Mashiach, which means that, according to Rashi, the third Beis HaMikdash, and this also we have to discuss this, the difference in the Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam said, we just read before, that we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rashi, the Beis HaMikdash is going to come on its own from Shemayim. Min HaShemayim is going to come. Which means that, when's the Beis HaMikdash coming? It's going to come on Pesach, right? Come on Pesach, according to Rashi. Then, we're not going to have any celebration for the rest of Yontiv, because the Gemara says in Moed Katan, Ein Marvin Simple Besimple. You can't dance and do weddings at the same time. That if it's Yontiv, we don't get married on Yontiv because it's Yontiv. We have to celebrate Yontiv. And then whatever Simcha, we should delay until after Yontiv is over. So the Beis HaMikdash is here. We're going to hold off all the celebrations until after Pesach. After Pesach, we're going to have a week long of Hakamas HaMikdash. Of the celebration of the Beis HaMikdash, of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. And so now that's how you have the entire month of Nisan covered without Tachanun. That was the Chida's answer. I wanted to add on to this Chida and say that, tomorrow is, tomorrow night is Pesach Sheni. So there's a fascinating comment from the Minchas Chinuch, where the Minchas Chinuch writes, he says that there are two opinions in the Yerushalmi about what happens in the scenario where the Beis HaMikdash comes at a point where it's too late for us to bring our Karban Pesach, our Paschal Lamb for the Yontif of Pesach, but before Pesach Sheni, do we bring Pesach Sheni or not? Do we bring where they have a second chance to do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? The Sefer HaKhanuch writes, the reason that we are given this a second chance for this mitzvah as opposed to any other mitzvah, but not such a thing, right? If you miss Sukkos, you don't shake lulav a month later. So why is it by Karban Pesach? Sefer HaKhanuch says, because it's too important of a yontif to miss, because it is the foundation of our emunah. And being that it's too important, Hashem didn't want anybody to miss out, right? Somebody had a flat tire on the way to the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem doesn't want such a person to miss out on the something that can fortify their emunah for an entire year. So that's why we're given a second chance at Pesach Sheni. So if the Beis HaMikdash comes before Pesach Sheni, but at a point where it's already too late to bring the first Karban Pesach, so there's two opinions in the Yerushalmi whether or not you bring Pesach Sheni. The Minchas Chinuch says, we do bring Pesach Sheni. He says that he feels the halacha follows the second opinion in the Yerushalmi. He actually writes, he actually says, this is fast, the Minchas Chinuch was unbelievable. Rabbi Yosef Babat, he was the chief rabbi of Chernobyl. He was a goyin atzam. He was an unbelievable genius. He has this commentary on the 613 mitzvos of halachic notes that are beautiful. The story behind how he published his work is also amazing, because the Minchas Chinuch didn't have a lot of money. He wrote his commentary and then I forget exactly the story. There's two versions of it. Either it was lost in a fire or that somebody stole it. He was robbed and someone stole this along with everything else. And he went to go consult, I forgot who, but he went to go consult with somebody about what he should do, because he doesn't have the money, the time and money to be able to rewrite the whole Sefer. And all he has are on the margins of his Sefer HaChinuch, of his book of mitzvos, he has his shorthand notes on the margins. So I forgot the Rav that he asked, said you should publish the margins, bring it to a publisher and have him publish the margins. So the Sefer HaChinuch, the original printings of it, the shul has one of those printings, one of the early printings of the Minchas Chinuch, the whole Sefer is written in acronyms. It's all shorthand. So really only like huge Talmid Chachamim learned the Minchas Chinuch. Like Rav Schechter, and there were a lot of mistakes in it because of the like printing mistakes because of that. So I remember Rav Schechter once was reading from one of the old copies of the Minchas Chinuch, and he quoted, and the Minchas Chinuch, he read from the Minchas Chinuch quoting a Gemara in Shas that didn't exist. So he explained to us this story, because the printing of the Minchas Chinuch, early printings were just working off of shorthand. Later, Machon Yerushalayim came out with a fuller version of the Minchas Chinuch. The Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, he finished learning the Minchas Chinuch before his bar mitzvah, which is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. In fact, when his mother would send him to bed at night, so in bed at night, after his mother thought he went to sleep, he, you know, instead of comic books sneaking under his blanket, it was the Minchas Chinuch that he was sneaking under his blanket. And he finished reading the whole Minchas Chinuch. Rav Schechter likes to say that if a person knows everything that's in the Minchas Chinuch, they could do a really good job faking being the Gadol Hador. Because if you know it's in the Minchas Chinuch, you have something to say on everything. So the Minchas Chinuch says that if the Beis HaMikdash comes, Bein Shnei HaPsachim, so then you have to go bring the Pesach Sheni. He says, actually, I'm writing this between Pesach and Pesach Sheni. So I hope that what I'm saying is correct, and that we're going to all go to bring the Karban Pesach this coming year. But based off of what we're presenting, is that the first time the Jewish people are going to do Aliyah L'Regel, are going to go up in pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash, if the Beis HaMikdash does not come Achishena, but rather it comes Be'ita, when it comes in the time that it's set to come versus sooner than that, hopefully it's sooner. But if we have to wait for Ita, for the time it's destined to come, based on what we're saying, that the most appropriate time is going to be on Pesach, which means that the first pilgrimage festival is going to be Pesach Sheni. The first time, which could be Bez Hashem this Friday, hopefully the Beis HaMikdash comes sooner than we're expecting, right? And coming mamish now, which means that this Friday we'll see everybody in Yerushalayim. They're all going to go for Pesach Sheni to bring our Karban Pesach Sheni. This is this tension between Achishena and Ita. Hopefully we keep focus on the things we do have in our control. We don't have in our control the exact answer to when Mashiach is going to come. What we do have in our control are the things that we do, making sure that we're being scrupulous with Shabbos and sharing Shabbos with other people that aren't yet familiar, and making sure we're doing what we can to build more Achdus and Klal Yisrael, to make sure we aren't speaking Lashon Hara about one another, davening with sincerity for Mashiach's arrival. These things really can make a difference, will make a difference, and that it's not going to just be Be'ita. We're not going to have to wait for next Pesach or whenever that Pesach is, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come from Shemayim and that Mashiach is going to arrive, but rather it's something that's going to happen Achishana. It's going to happen more immediately. The Navi Malachi writes, he says, ultimately, whenever the time is, whether it's Ita or it's Achishana, whether we have to wait for it to come in its destined time, or it's going to happen more speedily than that, regardless of when it happens, it's going to be, says the Navi, Hineni Shaleach Malachi, that I'm going to send my angel, my messenger, meaning Eliyahu HaNavi, Ufina Derech, he's going to clear the path for me, for Alifanai, he's going to clear the path for me, for Mashiach's arrival, Upitom Yavo Alechalo. And it's going to be Pitom, it's going to feel sudden. It's going to feel like it's happening like this, like the Radak said before. So hopefully we'll be able to feel that sense of suddenness, of surprise, of this childlike excitement for when Mashiach ultimately does come, and we do everything we can to make it achishana, make it happen more speedily instead of waiting for Ita. Ultimately, no. Ultimately, we know though, animam ibn Rishlema, that Mashiach is going to ultimately come. Okay, good. We'll stop here for now.
Question.
Yeah, Jack.
Do you think that the Rambam's idea?